Well, we had a blast. That's all of us there that were on retreat, except the Grices who had to leave, and Mitch had to leave with them because they had a thing on Thursday. But we had a great big group, and it was a whole bunch of fun. We had 22 teens and 11 leaders, so almost enough adults to keep track of all the teens. it was a lot of fun. So as Josiah mentioned in the last song, our theme for Youth Retreat this year was Ephesians 5:2. And it's actually funny because we had been reading through Ephesians 4 with the men on men's retreat, and I had just gone ahead and kept reading the next couple chapters. And when I came across Ephesians just right at the beginning, Ephesians 5:2 talks about how we are to strive to be like Jesus, who gave himself up as a fragrant offering to God. And to his father. And I just remember thinking, fragrant offering. And like reading that, it evoked memories of me of, I think it was my second youth retreat here back when Josiah was in middle school. And I just remembered the cabin that Andy, so I know he remembers this cabin lovely. It was the middle school cabin because we thought putting all the middle school boys together in one cabin would be a great idea. And we did. And one of the middle school boys, I don't think he's actually here right now, but Josh Murray, I'll call him out, it's okay. And he had, like you would expect on youth retreat, had gotten really sweaty and gotten really exhausted, as middle school boys do. And he was smart and was like, hey, my socks are really wet and sweaty and dirty. I'm not going to just shove them in my bag. I'm going to dry them out. So he put them over the fan that was in the room and let him dry out all day in the hot sun with closed doors in the cabin. And I remember later that day, I opened up the door to go in the cabin to check if anybody was there. And I opened it up and I got like the door maybe 20 degrees open. And I was like, nope, no one's in there. It's fine. And I just closed the door and walked away. It was the worst smell I've ever smelled. It was awful. So this Bible verse talking about being a fragrant offering, like that's the first thing that came to my head, and I thought, hey, that's a good song, that's a good message for youth retreat. Because the thing about fragrance, smell evokes such memory for us. That's kind of one of those things that like sticks to you, right? You ever walk by and you smell something and it like brings up this like old memory of like, oh, back in the when I was a kid and I used to mow the lawn, or when I used to, you know, work on the car engines with my dad and smell gasoline or oil. Like there's certain smells that just come up to you and they make you remember things. And so I think it's really important that that's maybe why Paul used that verse of being a fragrant offering. And it's actually used throughout the whole Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, the concept of a fragrant offering. And I think the reason why is because smell does have such a strong emotion tied to it. And the thing about smell is it's not just something that affects you from what you see, but it's something that people notice even without seeing you, right? If you're someone who hasn't showered in a couple days, people around you are probably going to notice it. And so I kind of was talking about how if we're supposed to be like Jesus and be a fragrant offering, that should tell us what it means to actually be an offering. It's something that people notice when they're around us. They pick it up. Whether it's good or it's really bad, it's something people are going to notice. We can talk about how offerings were something that were done in the Old Testament as a way of appeasing of their sin, of a way of making up for their sin that they had made. And so when you did something bad, you had to make certain kinds of offering based on what your sin was. And that was something that would then wipe you clean until you'd sinned again. And then you'd have to make another offering, right? That's kind of the concept of how it went. But the whole point of Jesus is that he died for us to be a permanent offering so that we don't have to keep making offerings. But what comes with that is then we are asked to be an offering in ourselves, to live as an offering, just like Jesus did. But what does that mean? Well, it's a lifelong posture that you take in life. It's a lifelong way that you walk. How you walk daily is meant to be an offering to God, not just something that you do once and you're good and you can check out, but it's something that you continually walk in with God. So I asked the teens this with the question, what kind of offering are you? Were you one time a really good smelling offering? You did something in your life that was beautiful and fragrant, and then you kind of just said, well, that was good, and now I'm good for the rest of my life? Are you someone who's continually walking as a fragrant aroma? Or are you someone who stinks, who smells bad, and maybe other people around you notice it? And as much as other people notice it, God notices it even more. And so we talked about what are steps that we can do? What are ways that we can behave that make us a fragrant offering throughout our life? What are things that we can do daily that make us a fragrant offering? And I also talked about how when we do things that we're not supposed to do, Eric told us a great message on how we can be people who speak wholesomely, you know, people who don't tear each other down, who don't speak in vulgarities or inappropriate things, someone who actually speak really well. Because the thing is, when we do, you know, use sarcasm, right, Eric, or when we are rude to people or we use coarse joking, that's something that people notice around us and it affects people around us. But sometimes maybe when we smell, and I think is the case with middle school boys especially, I know from 7 years of experience working with teen boys, sometimes people don't realize how much they smell. We kind of become nose blind to ourselves. And I think that kind of what happens with sin is sometimes we stay in sin long enough that we don't realize how much we smell. And that's kind of why we need someone else to be like, hey, you stink, you need to shower. We need that as Christians. We need people to work together to encourage us about our sin in our lives. And that's what Josiah talked about as well the next day, of how we can work together and how we can manage our time well, because we don't have a lot of time left. We don't know when our time is up, so we need to be reaching to other people and telling them that they smell, figuratively. I mean, if you want to do it literally too, that's fine, but especially spiritually is much more important. And so I think that that's really a great message for the team, but that's a great message for all of us, that we need to be living our life as a fragrant offering to God. When you walk around, does God smell you, and is he happy and satisfied with the way you smell? Are you living a life of praise and thanksgiving? The last night, we talked about how we need to be people who are always praising and thanking God at all times. Even when we're in the midst of hard things, that we need to be offering up fragrant praises and offerings of God no matter what. I love having all the teens up here and helping us with worship, because I know a lot of teens are like, I don't want to go up there, I'm not a good singer. But that's not why we're meant to give praises to God. Believe it or not, our offerings are not good to him because of how, our praises are not good to God because of how well we sing. That's good for us as people who listen with human ears, but God's ears are different. And I think his what makes a praise fragrant is of how much it means and comes from our heart. And that applies to everything in our life, not just our praises, but our actions, the way we talk, the way we interact with others, the things that we watch, the things that we consume, and especially the things that come out of us. So that's really just the message that I want to give to you guys, that I shared with all the teens and that Josiah and Eric also helped me share, and Audrey and Josh as well, of what kind of offering are we being to God. So before I start giving the mic to teens to share of maybe what this retreat meant to them, I also just want to say, hey, I had 11 adults who came and helped with youth retreat, and I 100% could not have done it without them. I had kitchen staff, I had people who helped lead worship, especially at the last second, and I had people who were just there as leadership, just helping lead small groups with me and helping just beat up kids when they misbehave. So just thank you for all of the people who came. So can you just give the leaders a round of applause? And some of them are up on here on stage, but Megan, who's trying to hide and is in the middle there, she was our nurse. And Tim, back in the back on sound, was also there. I think we had relatively, and Teresa Grice was one of our cooks as well. Yeah, she was trying to hide. And Megan, I think you had a pretty relatively easy retreat as a nurse, right? I don't think we had too many injuries, so I think we're slowly getting better. Slowly. Yes, a lot of people praying for us as well. It was a help. I'm sorry, what? Yeah, we had a couple bruises. I think the only one who got sunburnt was the nurse's kid, so I think we're okay. Although it might be a miracle that Jed didn't get burnt. I don't know how he did not, but good job, Jed, for eventually putting sunscreen on at some point during a retreat. I'm also so thankful for all of these kids, for all of these leaders, and for all of you parents who helped get your kid to come to retreat. It's a huge thing. And retreat would not have been fun if it would have just been me, a couple leaders, and like one kid. It wouldn't have been fun. I'm glad that we had 22 teams. That makes it worth it for me and for all of the leaders who were there. So thank you so much for church, for all of your prayers, and just all the way that you are all a part of this and a part of our teens. So just give yourselves a round of applause on that one. I know, I guess while we're still on leaders though, Mark, I know you had something you want to do, so I'm going to let you share that now.
I'll have Jonathan help. Jonathan, you get to hold the box.
All right, so thank you for the segue there. That's excellent. I am going to need all of the leaders to come up. Teresa, is there Russell or Debbie? Do you mind taking over the soundboard to make sure something doesn't go crazy? Because I need Tim up here too. We need all of these. All right. Oh, Andy's at it. He's going to start pushing buttons. He's going to mute me. All right. So as they make this way up, I decided, let me introduce first. I helped run the kitchen with my wife, Maria, Tim, Megan, Eric, Teresa. It's a huge undertaking feeding these kids because they are bottomless pits. We started cooking. We got up probably about 5 a.m. We're in the kitchen by 6 a.m. And then we had breakfast served at 8. And then we worked basically from 6 a.m. until midnight. We were feeding these kids. And then they'd be screaming at night and we couldn't sleep. So it was a big task for us. But I decided that I was so appreciative for all the help that we got this year that I wanted to do the first annual Chef's Awards. So this is the first annual Chef's Awards. And so I went and got these silly gifts because the kids know I'm pretty silly sometimes. And so I got these silly gifts to just thank people. So Tim, Megan, and Eric and Teresa, step up, please. So I'm going to start with them. They were with Maria. Come on up, too. So actually, I'll start with Maria. So, you know, I can't do anything without Maria. I was super, super, super overworked before I went because I had to get a lot of work done before I could even go on retreat. And I was super stressed. And she was my angel and came to the rescue. So I'm re-gifting this. This was sitting on our television mantle. I can't remember if I gave this to her, if her mom gave it to her, if my mom gave it. Someone gave this to her once already. And so since she's my angel, I am re-gifting this to Maria. You can just put it back where you found it, where I found it.
Thank you so much.
All right. And then my biggest helpers were the Durnells, Tim and Megan, Eric and Teresa. We could not have pulled it off without them. They were phenomenal in the kitchen. Everybody pitched in. We worked really well together. They put up with me when I'm tired and grumpy, which is... You guys definitely deserve a prize for that. And the kids really like my hamburger recipe, so like they ask for it every year we do this. And so I decided that Tim, Megan, Eric, and Teresa, you're my hamburger helpers. So I got you guys some hamburger helper. I have never tried this lasagna recipe. I hope it's not terrible. So, I'm sure it's great. I'm sure it's great. So thank you very much. You guys are my hamburger helpers. All right. What's next in here? Let's see. Let's go with Josh. So Josh, step forward wherever you're at. Come on up. So Josh Hale, is awesome. Every time I saw one of the youth with a frown on their face, he stepped in to talk to them. Silly guy, very funny. He looks threatening, but he's actually great. And he just really, like, every time I saw a kid that was down, he was there. Every single time. Because, you know, the kids, they're worn out and they get tired. And just his conversations with them, I overheard and just gave me a smile. I know it gave them a smile. And so he wanted to make sure that none of the kids were left out or left behind. And he also made sure that there were no leftovers left behind. So I got you Left Behind, the book. Thanks, buddy. All right, and we'll go ahead with Audrey next. Come on up. Same thing with Audrey. If there was a kid that needed talking to, Audrey was there. She was, during the games, she was definitely the loudest person that we had. We could hear her clear across the building in the kitchen. She was very enthusiastic. And so I thought about making this the Blowhorn Award. But she was also the kid's biggest cheerleader. And so this is the cheerleader award because you were the biggest cheerleader for the kids. All right. Josiah is next because that's the one my hand's on. All right. Josiah was our main worship leader. He picked out the songs, did a great job. Awesome job. I got you these guitar picks because you really picked great songs. So I tried to get them in Jaguar collars, but I couldn't find any. But we talked about doing the heavies, so I thought I'd just get you some so you could try it out. So, all right, thank you so much. He did an awesome job. Definitely gets a round of applause there. And speaking of music, Sarah, come on up. So I really enjoyed singing with you at Youth Retreat, and then I enjoyed singing with you again here. So I got you Sing 1 and Sing 2. And I know you got grandkids, so I was like, they'll probably enjoy that. All right, Dax, come on up. Yes. So Dax had an awesome message and really spoke to the kids, really spoke to the youth. I've been on a couple youth retreats with Dax, and he just does such a phenomenal job. He really lights these guys on fire. I mean, they whenever they come back, do you guys feel more on fire for God right now than you did before you went? Just yes, yes. I want to hear you. Okay, all right. Thank you. So I got Dax this handy dandy fancy electric lighter because he likes to light kids on fire. Yeah. For Jesus. All right, and that is the end of the first annual Chef's Awards.
All right. Okay, I just realized I'm singing in front of people. Do I have any teens that are on fire for Jesus that I've lit on fire that want to talk? All right, Alexis, I see you on fire.
Thank you. Super on fire for God. I came into this retreat hoping that I'd get lit on fire more because I've not been on fire. I've been very much not on fire. It's kind of been a smolder. Hated it for like the past couple months, really. So I came into youth retreat not expecting a whole lot, but like really hoping that God would show up. So I'm sure Dex literally came to me this morning and he's like, Alexis, when it's time for sharing, you don't get to speak until I hand you the mic on stage. Wait. Because every single session, we would go into small groups afterwards. And I think the girls are sick and tired of hearing me talk. I talked a lot. Sorry, guys. I'm a verbal thinker, so I've got a lot of things that I needed to think through over retreat, and a lot of them got to hear. So shared a lot. Sorry, Dax. I had a thing. Yeah, fire. So I've been very much lit on fire. I felt called out. And I feel bad for like a lot of the youth because I really wanted to connect with them more. And I saw a lot of their fires get lit, and like, it was really cool to watch. God move. He was very much there. And I spent a lot of my time separated and just praying, because I've had a lot of questions. Not a lot of them got answered, mind you, but like, I definitely felt more settled in my soul than what I have been, for one reason or another. But like, I finally feel settled, which is very comforting for me. And like, it's just kind of nice to like feel settled and like feel God's presence on me and around me and surrounded by the other youth. And I wanted to encourage them. As the senior leaving, one of four went. And I want to encourage you all, because I came home and I immediately had a funeral to go to. Sorry, that was really loud into the mic. So my grandfather passed away, as I'm sure a lot of you have known. I didn't think I was going to cry. Me and my grandfather are not as close as I am to a lot of my other family members. And I really didn't think I was going to cry until Josiah made some comments. And actually, it was Josiah's comment that first like made me realize, oh, my grandfather passed away. I need to feel emotions about this. Because Josiah made the comment about how he was impressed that me, Dad, and Jonathan, and even my mom all made it to retreat because our grandfather passed away. And I never... And thank you, church. This should have been a part of my sharing time, but thank you all for coming up to support my father. But I haven't heard it, like, any mention to me or Jonathan or Nathaniel about, like, our grandfather passed away. Like, we've heard your grandfather passed away. I'm sorry for your loss. But, like, I haven't really, like, had someone come up or, like, make a comment of, your grandfather passed away. I'm sorry. That is hard. And I don't have tissue. This cannot be a thing happening. I feel like I should have no tears left to cry, because I have literally cried every single day this week. There has not been a day this week where I've not cried. My eyes burned eyes, and I'm barely standing. But I want to encourage you youth, because the devil does not like what we covered over retreat. We are offerings, and we are the light. We are spotlights, or we are supposed to be lights. And the more light you get, the brighter it will be. So stay together, keep together, come up behind one another and support each other, because the more together you are, and church, this goes for you too, but the more we all support each other, the brighter we're going to be, because the devil does not like what we do. We are called to be the different ones. And the world doesn't like what's different. I'm sure you've noticed if you've literally looked outside your house. But the world doesn't like different. It says it likes it. But once you start to like break out of their mold of what's different and like what's okay to be different, they don't like you. And they specifically do not like Christians. But stay together, support each other, reach out to one another. I know it's going to seem hard and it's going to seem weird. I don't like to reach out to people, but every single time someone has reached out to me, like, even if we couldn't meet up, I'm not saying you have to meet up, but just like a quick text of, hey, how you doing? Just thoughts, or I've been thinking about you recently. How you been? Just a random text of, hi, and you guys don't even, like, have to talk, like, hello. Like, a human interaction from one of your brothers or sisters in Christ is just nice, and it's refreshing, because you know that they have your back. I might not always talk to my fellow peers, but whenever like we kind of like even have like a slight check, I always leave feeling refreshed because I know that I don't have to pretend in front of these people. I know I don't have to like be on guard and like put on the full armor of God for this conversation of what on earth is going to happen. I just know we both believe in God. We both love him dearly. And we love people, even if we don't always like people. People, humans, we love them. There's times where it's not, and it's hard to love them, but just coming up and support one another, guys, because it's going to get hard. And youth retreat was powerful, and every single time there's a powerful retreat, the devil likes to kick you hard. I wish I would have checked in with you all as soon as we got home, or like on Friday or Saturday, but I've just been busy, and that's not an excuse, and I'm sorry, but.
So this has probably been one of the most powerful youth retreats that we've had. We, like, on that last night on Thursday, we could all feel the Holy Spirit just running around the room, and it was intense and it was powerful, and I don't even know how some of you all were standing at the end there. I know me and Alexis were on the floor, or like in our chair. It was powerful. That's all that I can say.
So, in addition to setting children on fire, Dax likes to peer pressure.
He does.
And
he does.
The last day,
yes,
the last day, we took our senior picture, and he came up and he was like, "Okay, guys, we're sharing on Sunday. It's your last chance. If you have anything to say, this is your absolute last chance," because he never wants to hear from us again. I don't know. I've been like so tense lately. Like every time I see Tim, he's like, "What's with the face?" That's what I hear all the time. And what was it like the last night? I talked with, what is she like, the youngest girl, Milena? Yeah, she's 11, and I don't think she's here today, but she should be. I have her number. I will track her down. That last day, we were hiding from the kids playing Among Us downstairs eating goldfish. She stuffed 5 packets of gummies. Okay, whatever amount, in her mouth at the same time. And they came up. They came back up. I didn't want to see that, but they did. And after this, she squirted me with her water bottle, so of course I have to get mine. I didn't know hers had Gatorade in it. But I took hers, she took mine, and it went down. I was like, I hid in the bathroom. I was standing on top of the toilet, and I locked the door. And I was hoping she's going to look under it so I can just, like, you know, get her. She got in the stall next to me, stood up. When she found me, I was standing there for 30 minutes. 30 minutes. She found me, got in the stall next to me, and she has water in hers, but I had Gatorade. And so she's like, "Say who you are or I might squirt you." She didn't actually know it was me. And I was like, go ahead, find out what happens. So she squirted me, and Gatorade, the whole bathroom was blue. It was bad. We ran out of towels, but it's clean, don't worry. No. We cleaned up our mess. That's the difference between the girls and the boys. Yeah. But yeah, so I don't know. That just helped me to kind of like let loose for a minute and just relax and be like, I don't have to be so tense all the time. We can have fun. It doesn't have to be so serious all the time. So, yeah.
Elliot, it's your turn.
You want that.
Hey, that's Elliot.
Peer pressure.
You got it, bro.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Turns out my future sister-in-law is evil. Oh, you didn't? Sorry. My future sister-in-law is evil.
Definitely better the second time.
Sorry. I didn't plan to share. I didn't really have a fall on my knees, start crying because the Holy Spirit washed over me moment at retreat, which, well, kind of. I think the most important thing I did at retreat was I forgave a couple people. And I think that's pretty important. There was I forgave one person that I kind of hated for a long time, so I think that's pretty good, and I'm going to stop talking.
So probably the most impactful thing for me at retreat was honestly just being alone with God for devotions every morning. That was very refreshing, and it was pretty awesome. And then maybe my favorite part of retreat was, did you see the slide up on the slideshow? It's the huge black slide. Watching Josh go down yelling and complaining for only moving about an inch every 2 to 3 minutes. That was pretty incredible. I think you went down it four times. You went down once with water, though. The first time, me and Wake had to pull his legs down. The other two times, we just followed behind him and shoved him down slowly. And then the fourth time, he got out of the pool, and we all got him to go down. And he moved down fast. He moved down real fast. That was pretty fun.
I'm going to clarify a couple things about that last story, because I believe what happened is Jed, we're talking about peer pressure, Jed goes, Josh, you got to go down the slide. It's so fun when you're wet because you go really fast. And Josh said, no, I'm going to get hurt. And he said, no, I promise. I'll go first and you can see. So Jed goes in the slide, flies down the slide. And then that's when Josh is like, well, he starts to make his way over to the slide. And that's when Audrey tells me, Dex, go get this on video of Josh going down the slide. So I went down. I'm heading down, and when I get to the base of the slide, I see Jed laying down on the ground, grabbing his leg. And I go, Jed, are you okay? And he goes, yeah, fine. And then I said, are you sure? And he goes, nope, my legs just numb a little bit. It's okay. I'm good. And then Josh goes, I'm not going to go. Jed looks like he's hurt. And Jed goes, no, I'm fine. And then he's like, I think he's hurt, guys. And everyone who was down at the base goes, no, he's okay. You're good. and then Josh went down the slide and he had fun. Yeah. I do have a video of him coming down the slide, but I will share that with you privately. So but anyway, we had a great retreat, I've just been so excited because this was a huge retreat, and this was like, so starting last year was our first year of really like going back to doing retreats on our own and not combining with other churches. And so that was really exciting. We've kind of been like building up the youth group on our own, just kind of finding like, well, what are we as a youth group? And because I don't know, it's hard to focus on ourselves and with other churches. And there's good things that come out of that, but it's been really great just building up leaders within our own church. And it's been cool seeing all these seniors and just all the leaders that I've had come and help me. So I will say that on Thursday night, on the last night of message, I did share with all the teens that, you know, we're talking about praising God no matter what. And I talked about how, like, life for me has been kind of hard. We have two kids. My wife is a nurse, and that's her calling, and that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. Thank you, Pam. I don't have my wife in here to remind me what to do, so thank you, Pam. My wife, as you know, like, her calling is to be a nurse, and her calling is just as strong as my calling is in ministry. And so it's just kind of been hard navigating ministry, and especially youth ministry, while I have a wife who works night shift. And so I talked about how sometimes I've had the boys come over, and unfortunately I had you know, babysitters drop out or whatever, and so then I have to try and lead a boys' small group while my kids are running around, and it's crazy. And but life has been kind of overwhelming for me, and I have a third kid on the way, which is very terrifying to me. So I talked about that, and Andy and I have had conversations of, like, trying to figure out how I can continue ministry the way I want to, and also Andy's had conversations with the board about other holes that we have in our church and ministry. So all that being said, I did announce on Thursday with the teens that I will be stepping down from my youth pastor position. I'll be continuing to work with the teens and help the teens and show up as a leader, just like all the leaders here do. But that was something that, after a lot of months of talk and conversing with God, that was the step that I needed to make. And I didn't really want to make that step until I knew for sure that there was someone who I trusted and who I knew would be great with the teens. And so Josh and Audrey, in the meantime, have had their own things of God calling them to step up into ministry. And they've already been helping with leading small groups as well. And so things kind of just worked out with that. And so we announced that on Thursday, and that's something I've been really excited for. And it's been great on retreat, having Josh and Audrey there to just hang out with the kids and mess with the kids. And have fun with them and share wisdom with them. And so that's kind of what the youth group, the steps that we've been making, and they're super exciting and they're super great, and we're really excited about it. And it's just going to be wonderful. And I told the teens, I know I have big shoes to fill, but Josh has got big feet, so I think we're okay. believe it or not, I think, you know what, Josh is really fit, because I think Josh is really good at confronting the kids and calling them out. And I try my hardest, but for some reason, Josh is more intimidating than I am. I don't know why. So we're really excited about that. But I just want to say thank you again to everybody who was there, all the teens, everybody. You took time out of your summer to make it. And we even had some teens who, I mean, Brody had to graduate. And so he could have just not come at all, but he decided to come up after graduation, and he got up late that night. And Brianna ditched work just so she could come to youth group. So, anyway, it was just a wonderful youth retreat and a great sending off for me, kind of, even though I'll still be involved some. And I know Andy also kind of has some stuff that he would like to share as well. Pam, thank you. I'm not good at remembering things. So, anyway, just in case the mic wasn't on me the whole time, really thankful to be part of this youth group in the capacity that I have been. And I'm super excited for all the directions that it's going to be going as well.
Yeah, I know you guys are ready to go to lunch, and it's summertime and fun. This has been an awesome retreat. You guys have such a cool group of leaders, such a cool group of teenagers. I know church, sometimes we make the mistake of thinking, like, hey, that next generation, they're going to be great one day. But we realize, right, that this is the generation right now, right? You guys are the church. You're not the next generation. You're part of the church, and you're part of those who are to influence others and impact. And if you're an older person sitting here today watching this, your heart's probably a little bit encouraged that, man, there's hope and there's people who are going to try to follow Jesus. And maybe even I should do as good as my kids are. That's a good thought. You know, there's a lot of that really good stuff. Well, we're super excited about what God's doing in our youth group. And we don't have time this morning to unpack it all, but Dax and I had some crazy conversations this spring that I was like, huh. You know, he said things like, I love the teens. I don't want to leave the teens. I don't ever want to quit youth ministry. I want to do their weddings. I want to be involved. I want to do that for the rest of my life. Absolutely. But if there was somebody God was raising up who had a great passion for the kids, I think I'm 100% good with that too. So then I was like, okay, Dax, that doesn't make any sense, but thanks for the talk, man. That's helpful. Really helpful, right? What do you think God wants you to do? You have no idea. Perfect. And then 2 weeks later, a gentleman by the name of Josh Hale was like, hey, Andy, I'm shutting down the gym. I'm supposed to do ministry stuff. I'm going to just show up and whatever God wants us to do, man, it's just going to happen. And I don't really know, but I'm going to quit, what do you say, whacking the edge of the wheat and get in there and make a difference for the kingdom, right? And I was like, well, that's interesting. And so then we started talking. And all of a sudden, like, this is the lead pastor at our church, just so you guys know. Jesus is not he's not like second seat, right? Or he's not part of the committee. He's the head of the church. It's his church, and he's doing what he's doing. And I'm super thankful that he understands that this guy is only good at, like, connecting simple little dots that are very easy, right? Dax has a third kid coming, the ministry stuff going on that he wants to do and continue to do, but how can he do it? We have some small group things this fall we're going to launch. We're super excited about. Josh is like working with teens at the school. Audrey's been doing small group stuff. They love teenagers. They can't help themselves. They're like, man, we need to get involved. And I was doing that like, huh. So that's a circle and there's a circle hole. And I can move. Oh my gosh, this could be a thing, right? Like, that's how simple I am. So we talked about it as a board and we've been excited. So what's happening is, Dax is going to be continuing rocking youth pastor fun stuff this summer up until school launches. Josiah's here as the official assistant to the regional youth pastor through the summer. And so he's going to be helping with all of that stuff. And then Josh and Audrey are going to be here all summer learning and growing and trying to figure out everything that Josh and Josiah do wrong, or Jed or Dax and Josiah do wrong. And that way they can perfect it for August. And then in August we'll launch. And then who knows who will win the Chef Awards next year. So that's kind of the plan. Super exciting stuff. Ryan, I'm sorry, you were the youth pastor once, and now it's time. We just filled the role. It was very clear in front of everybody.
So something that I learned a long time ago is that the faith of God's people is increased by the testimony of God's people. And something that I didn't even tell my wife that I knew this, but I knew Josh and Audrey were going to be the youth pastors back at Men's Retreat. At Men's Retreat, and actually I had a conversation with somebody on staff that I shouldn't encourage people to jump in where they're supposed to jump in. But the Holy Spirit prompted me on Men's Retreat to stand up and say, hey guys, get it together. We need you. And these are our kids. We are the village. Anybody recognize that? And yeah, y'all should have shirts to prove it. While I was standing there, I locked eyes with Josh. And in my head, I thought, kids ministry. They got kids, right? God said, nope, youth ministry. I didn't tell Josh and Audrey that. Since Men's Retreat, God has had on my heart to pray for them as our next youth pastors. That's the testimony of God moving in our church, guys. If you feel God telling you to do something, get up out of your seat and go do it. Because this is a church that supports that. I mean, I got up out of my seat to come up here and tell you this. So, it's just, if God's asking you to do it, guys, get up and do it. Because we are the village, we are raising kids. I mean, we had Josiah and Josh Murray come over to our house on Friday to help us move a treadmill into our house. It was kind of cool. I was sitting there thinking, what formed me? And it was that showing up at Andy and Jamie's house, showing up at the Grace's house, the Zubers, Pete and Susie's house, and just hanging out, just being around Christians. Guys, it's as simple as opening your home and saying, I mean, we didn't intend to have Josh and Josiah come over and have pizza and talk until, what was it, 10 o'clock? We didn't intend for that. We just needed two young guys to help us move a treadmill because we couldn't. Why we need the treadmill. But we asked them to come because we knew their hearts. And we knew they'd come. So we bought them pizza. And it turned into those good things. So open. Be open to what God wants you to do. One day you might find yourself as the youth pastor of the church.
That might be a little scary at the end there, Ryan. But God is good. And that's the coolest part of the whole thing, right? It's his church. It's his people. It's relationship. It's doing life together. It's walking in relationship. That's why retreats are so important, because you hang out together. And then you have like important conversations hanging out together. Sometimes I stand up here and talk and people are busy on their phones tuning me out. Those aren't the best places sometimes for some good conversations. Some of the good conversations happen over Dan's epic pulled pork and Nate's epic pulled pork last night in Nine Square, and conversations where we just talk about what it means to follow Jesus together. And we encourage each other. And God definitely wants to use you, for sure, in all the relationships and the circles he's got you. We're excited about what God's doing here in the youth ministry stuff. So definitely cheer on Josh and Audrey. Don't let them run and hide after this Now Public. And keep that going. And they love the teens, and I think the teens are tolerating them pretty well so far. Till you have to do push-ups every youth group. Wait till that happens. Woo! God is so good. Thank you for being an awesome church family. Thanks for just being a part of what God's in the work of doing. And we're excited about this generation who's impacting the church today and the culture today and the world today, because God is using you guys, not tomorrow, but right now, to do significant and awesome things. Let's pray, and we'll get you out of here. Father, thank you so much for the time today here together to just celebrate what you're at work doing. Thank you for the testimony of these teenagers and leaders and the impact this week that you had in so many ways for them. Thank you for the relationships and the discipleship and the journey, Lord, that these young people are on. Thank you for how it challenges me, challenges us, Lord, to engage and to walk alongside of them. And Father, I pray that you would watch over and protect us as we try to use our gifts and talents and abilities, and we step out, even sometimes in anxiety and fear, but in faith, trying to trust you to see how to keep in step with your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd help us as a church, every one of us as your church, to keep in step with your Spirit in all the ways you're challenging us and stretching us and growing us. We're excited, Lord, about the future because you're in charge. Thank you for all you're doing. Pray that just give us an incredible week as we walk out this journey of faith together. In Jesus' name, amen.